We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson, and it's my absolute delight and pleasure to have a wonderful guest from Canada. Go figure. I've got a Canadian gal on with me from just one province over, Doreen Baker. And Doreen is an artist and an illustrator of primarily what we're going to talk about today, which is children's books. And I was introduced to Doreen's work because we had just a mutual friend that's actually, thank goodness for technology, in the world of things that they were in a group together. And so my friend Joan had said, hey, this gal Doreen's got some kids books out. And I was like, oh, excellent. Because for those of you who are regular listeners to the podcast, you know that I have six grandchildren. And so having good content to read is really important to me. And it's part of life mastery, actually being able to read, being able to contemplate life, and being able to share those life lessons with our children and grandchildren through story. And so Doreen's done a beautiful job of a series of books about a hummingbird. And so it was Hum at the Farm is the title that caught my eye. And so I said, oh, I've got to have Doreen to talk about this wonderful series of children's books. So Doreen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So how did you get into doing books? And let's talk about your current books that are out, because you've been illustrating books for a long time. How did you get into doing the Hum series?
Well, it all kind of started with, I've been doing painting all my life, and I prefer the watercolors because they're kind of magical. You never know what you're going to get. And I'd been retired from work for a couple of years, and I just thought, so I just started painting. And then as I was painting hummingbirds and different things, I thought, why don't I just start putting them together in a book form? Because I tend to work better if I have an outcome or a goal. I'm not one of those that can just do bits and pieces. And then as I'm doing the pictures, a story starts to flow. And I get ideas from people. Just somebody will say a word and I'll download a picture, and then I'm off to the races, and I got to get it written down so that I can go from there. And it just evolves.
Right. Oh, I love that. So this is fitting. It's spring solstice as we're recording this. And so just to give a context for people who are listening, because the spring solstice is really about kind of shedding off the old stuff and coming into the new things that you want to do. So you weren't doing illustrations and stuff in your regular job prior to your retirement. You were doing this post-retirement. So that's interesting. Just.
Yeah. And I mean, as I'm getting older, I just thought I need to get back to painting, because I've always painted, but never had time for it. Because when you work full time and you're raising a family, there's just not enough time. Mm-hmm. And painting is like playing the piano. If you don't keep at it, if you don't use it, you lose it. Right.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like giving heart to people who maybe have been just tinkering away with things over a number of decades. Now's a perfect time to come back to things that have been niggling at your, as a child or into your early 20s, 30s before you had a family and started raising them. And then you kind of let go of a lot of that stuff. But when you come back after retirement, there is hope for those of us who've been tinkering around to kind of pick it up and be able to manifest it into something that's actually a work that is a living piece, living, breathing piece of art and story in this 3D world. So I just think that is so cool. And it's encouraging for many people who are in that time of their life where they're dealing with retirement. Now, what do I do with myself? Or how do I contribute to the world? Because things are changing and people aren't feeling maybe the same ways they used to contribute. So that's a beautiful story. Beautiful, beautiful story. Yes. And so you started painting the hummingbirds, you put them into a book. And then when did it start to formulate into a storyline?
Well, in the first book, it was basically an introduction to Hum, which is this book right here. I know it's backwards.
Beautiful. Hum.
And it was just sort of, I got ideas from people, and that's sort of how the book came together. And it became about magic and doorways and how Hum can go into other realms, which we all can, I believe. And just having fun, like get out of what's in front of you and go into what's inside of you. And I was never ridiculed as a child because I always had this vivid imagination. And in fact, I wasn't very good in school because I had never paid attention. I was somewhere else.
Right. Yes.
And maybe that's a good thing. So then the stories start to evolve. And then, you know, one book gets done. And the first book was the hardest. You know, it's finding someone to put it together because I don't want to be doing the actual design of the book. I just want to do the pictures and write the story and have someone else do the technical end of things. And I found someone very close here, and that's how it started. And then the second book, like, just it hit me really fast, and it was like, okay, I got to do this.
Yeah. And so, what's the second book? What's the second book called? So the first book and all the books are available on Amazon and on your website, yes, as well, Doreen?
They're not available on my website. I'm not getting into that.
Right. Okay. Amazon, everybody.
Yeah. And the second book is called Hum's Quest.
Hum's Quest. Very cool pictures. It's beautiful. So yes, those of you who are listening in on the audio version, come on over and check out the video version of the podcast at masteryourlife.ca, so that you can see the pictures and the illustrations that Doreen has done. So the front graphic of that is very fun. It looks like an island.
Well, that's, of course, Vancouver Island.
It's Vancouver Island. There you go. Yeah, for those of you internationally who go, what does Vancouver Island look like? Here we go.
And basically, Hum goes on a quest looking for Queen Reen, who was, you know, in the first book. And I'll show you a couple of pictures.
So is Queen Reen a good gal or is she a villain?
Nope. All my critters are good.
All good. Beautiful.
Although my next book, we're probably going to get a villain or two.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? Wow. Gorgeous.
So little places on the island that I go to, and I thought, well, I'll just do some pictures up and stuff.
Right. Very Canadian. It's very beautiful. Yeah. So for those of you who've been wanting to travel to Canada and get a look at the island pictures, there's a couple of beautiful ones in this book, the second book. Oh, and there's another. So this is kind of a plane going through the clouds. And what's the place?
It's my friend's house in Port Alberni.
Oh, it's your friend's house. Yeah.
And that's the Mars water bomber, the famous Mars water bomber that was home to Vancouver Island. They don't fly it to fight fires anymore, but it's an icon for the island. And they originally came from Hawaii.
Right. Oh, very cool. So the Mars water bomber, I've seen water bombers up here in some of our
Largest water bomber in the world.
Woo. And so it's no longer operational, you say? No?
It still flies, but nobody will hire them out to use it.
Okay.
Very political. That's Hum meditating.
Right. very political.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll maybe show you a couple of pictures from the first book.
Okay. So the first book is Hum, H-M-M-M. And so
H-U-M-M.
H-U-M-M. H-U-M-M.
Yeah.
Very beautiful. Look at that. Yes. So the reflection of Hum's reflection in the water. And so where would this be at? Is this something that's by you, where you're living at?
No, it was just a very fantasy kind of a picture. Mm-hmm. You know, I get ideas from different sources and then I put them together. So there's Hum flying through a magical door.
Yeah. The magical door.
Yeah.
I can see where children and adults would love this. So the adventure.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm finding. And then, of course, finding the magic door in the little mushroom patch.
Right. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. So Queen Reen, well, of course, she's the one that sort of, she looks after the inner world of the gardens. She oversees all of that. I don't know if I think I've got a picture of her in here somewhere.
So she looks over all the inner workings of the garden.
Yeah. Well, this is a picture of her, but she shows up in different ways.
Ah, okay. So she's a shapeshifter of sorts.
Yeah. Yeah. So she'll show up in in the book, maybe in a face in a tree or in a shell or you know, or just light.
Well, that's fun. So that's kind of like Where's Waldo, but find Queen Reen.
Yeah. And she kind of oversees everything. And so my third book is called Hum Dreams.
Beautiful.
And this was kind of a crazy book because Hum goes to sleep and is, so here's some pictures.
Oh, that's funny.
You can see that very well.
Yeah, sleeping. Yeah. That's cute. Oh, look at that. Very cute. Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you. And so Hum is having a, what do they call that? It's a special type of dream where you wake up in the dream. I'm just trying to put
this. So kind of a lucid dream?
Yeah, it's a lucid dream.
A lucid dream. Yes. So how many people can relate to that, to lucid dreaming? I think that there's like been lots of heavy oppression over people the last few years in particular. And so this is, again, an invitation for people to open up to remembering what our abilities are also. So this lucid dreaming, what was Hum doing in the lucid dream? Looks like he's with a whale.
She goes under the water. She's with the whales and the dolphins. And I thought, how do you get a hummingbird into the water? And she has like a little bubble kind of a craft.
Right.
Yeah. So she's able to communicate with all the animals and sort of just explore everything underwater.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. And again, it's like a reminder of all of our things that we actually have available to us. Okay.
And there's Queen Reen in the shell.
In the shell.
Yeah.
Very cute.
And so she basically helps Hum navigate getting out of the dream, getting out of that lucid dream and then coming back. And this is Hum with her buddy. And of course this is a friend of mine, her dog. So we had to, so people I know, their animals end up in my pictures.
Oh, very good. That's great. Beautiful.
And then, of course, Hum on the Farm, which
was the one I saw. That's the one I saw and went, oh, Hum on the Farm.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this one, Hum goes through a time portal. And of course, she's been going through these other portals before. And this one, she goes into the past, but into the gardener's past. And the gardener is me, the writer. And encounters some of my pets, and in the process, because it's a time portal and it's the Akashic records, Hum loses her colors, right?
Oh,
because everything's in sepia tones. So it's just sort of an introduction of, because I had a very small farm, and so they were just sort of my pets, and then back on the farm again, you know, just silly little pictures.
That is very, very fun. It's cute. Very sweet.
Thank you.
And so again, it's like what people can be reminded of. Akashic records. I had a guest on, Bob Foss, that that was 7 years ago, talking about Akashic records. And again, our ability to, more now than ever, again, tap into what your internal voice of wisdom is, what your story that's already, that you come from, that is already all there for you to access if you but figure out these portals. And so in each one of your books, you've kind of looked at ways to access that inner information, go outside of our limited 3D human ability or abilities and put it in this fun bird representation. And so what was the reason for picking a bird and a hummingbird in particular?
Well, hummingbirds and I have always been very close. My last house, I had a hummingbird nest right in front of my kitchen window, and she would greet me every morning right at the window. She'd buzz, come right up to the window and look at me. So I watched her raise her babies every year for a long time, many years. And then when they were all flying in that, you know, in the fall, she would have them all buzz me while I was in the garden. So I've always had a very close relationship with them. And then it's because they're kind of magical beings. To me, they're like mischievous fairies. You know, they can move so fast and they go straight up in the air. They can do things that other birds can't do. So who knows what they do all day? Who's to say they don't go through time portals, right?
Right. Yes, exactly. Who's to say? Who's to say?
Mm-hmm.
So, and for people who aren't familiar with hummingbirds, I think in lots of parts of the world, people actually don't have hummingbirds or they don't see them very frequently. So one of the things also that's great about technology now is that you can look up videos about hummingbirds just to get a real sense of what Doreen's talking about. I was fortunate that we'd had, you know, two or three hummingbirds, but not lots of them, two or three though. And they were always like very special because they would, you go, oh, there's the hummingbird. And it might not be there for 3 years and then come back.
Yes,
and how they're different sizes too. Like some are as small as your, you know, kind of like your baby finger, and some are as big as your thumb. And there, it was just amazing that they could, that they hover so fast, or wings, you know, have their little wings going so fast that they're just, it's amazing.
They're amazing.
They're amazing. They're amazing. Darting around and they're really quick, really quick, and very.
And they make
very
funny
quick.
Little noises, you know, that are amazing. But they overwinter here on the island. So they don't go home. And I don't know why that is. And it's kind of fun to watch because if we get a cold spell, they if you've got your hummingbird feeder out, you have to heat it so that it doesn't freeze. And they kind of guard the feeder. They won't let the other hummingbirds use it.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
So then you have to have like 30 hummingbird feeders.
Well, kind of.
To satisfy them all. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you got to be a good steward of the animals. That's kind of part of part of our deal here too, right?
Well, I agree with that totally. Yes. We got to take care of them, and you know what? I think it's a lovely thing to have the animals. I mean, can you imagine a world without them?
No, not at all.
No, I could not.
And so, what do kids say about your book? You've had what are the ages that you would say your books are for? I mean, I'm like going as an adult. I would read those. No. and I would read them to my grandkids.
Well, I think we say on Amazon from 4 to 8.
Right.
But it depends on the child, right? I think any child, as soon as you're sitting reading with them, would want to hear the story. Now at 4 or 5, they might be reading on their own. And just because you're 8 or 15 or 25, you know, you're probably going to want to read them anyway. And I think in my experience, when I used to read to my daughter, the best books were the ones that I enjoyed as well. Mm-hmm. And then you would want to sit down and read to your kids or read with your kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I love the illustration along with it too, because you can close your eyes after you look at the illustration. If you allow yourself to relax and just go into the illustration and be part of the adventure with Hum, with the other animals, with the ocean, with Queen Reen,
Queen Reen.
Yeah. So you can be a part of that adventure just by kind of closing your eyes, because lots of children's books don't have illustrations, or they're all illustration and not much story. So it's, you know, kind of that one. It's a neat thing to find a book that has a good balance between the two, and to be able to, because some kids are not very wordy, but they'll be able to extrapolate a lot just from the, you know, a picture.
And, yes.
Yeah. So that's
And I try to put the subject matter out there so that when they get older, or even at that younger age, to go off and look into things, you know, what is the Akashic Records? Is that a real thing? Or, you know, is there other, you know, I might get into parallel worlds or anything like that, just to get people to go off and do some exploring and, you know, a little bit of research. I mean, we're certainly seeing it in movies, so why not in children's books, right?
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
And sometimes it's the teaching the adults to unlearn all of their boundaries and borders that they put up, where kids are coming in, I think, now pretty sentient to a lot of the more uplifting frequencies that are available on this planet, and that, you know, they're more open because they haven't been shut down yet when they're little still too.
Yes,
thinking of their dreams is a real thing. You know, when I have conversations with the grandkids about their dreams, they're all of them are 8 and under, and they're all still okay with their dreams being a real part of their life. And I think adults sometimes don't utilize those dream portals to be able to, you know, relax into getting more information about things we're supposed to be doing or attending to or opportunities that are available. And that through story time, again, something that's been a kind of hijacked from the innocence of stories to them really being this other kind of darker underbelly all the time. And that's a different vibration also. So
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, with the way things have been over the last 20, 30, 40, yes. 50, and you can keep going years. Back in time.
Yes.
Is everyone's, well, this is reality. This is what we have to deal with. But, you know, when I look at reality, I go, okay, there is a magic there, but you often can't see it because of, oh, you know, you've got responsibilities, you got to pay the bills, and there's just no time left over. Mm-hmm. And so you crash in front of the TV, and I've never really been much of a TV watcher. Mm-hmm. So I think it's time we go back to reading books. I mean, it's wonderful we went into an electronic age, technical and whatnot, but there's something nice about having something tactical in your hands,
right,
that you can read and share and delve into the imagination. Kids have so much imagination.
Right. They do. Mm-hmm. Yes, so much. And if you plunk them in front of a TV, they dissociate just as fast as an adult. So the whole, like, just, and it is a dissociation. So it's they're not, when you're not creating your own thoughts, you're dissociated. So that happens as soon as you flip on a device or a TV. I've been, people who've listened to the podcast for any amount of time know that I'm kind of not the TV watcher hardly at all. And that it is because you can't access your own creative energy if it's been hijacked. Yeah. And that's so correct. Whether that's even reading it, you know, if you're a creative and you're thinking about creating something, it's like, take the brush in your hand, take the pen in your hand, take the welding thing in your hand, take the whatever in your hand and actually do the thing. Because again, lots of people think about it, but they aren't able to manifest for whatever reason, even something as simple as writing down a few words, because they're again stuck in the whatever, flipping their phone, you know, and that whole tech hijack is a real thing, mm-hmm. you know, so you can't access all of your gifts that you've been given here to, you know, express out to the world, really.
Yes. Yes.
But it is all still available. So that's, I think, the thing too, is the pendulum is sort of swinging back for lots of people where they're going, you know, I don't really want to spend all that time scrolling mm-hmm. through endless things that don't have anything to do with me. And, you know, good for us, give ourselves a pat on the back to go, yeah, I don't want to keep doing that. But I do want to embrace, you know, writing my own children's mm-hmm. books, doing some illustrations myself. Most people can color. Most people can use pencil crayons and color, but they, you know, it doesn't even have to look like anything, but just, you know, you can pick up some pencil crayons and just color.
Yeah. And I am thinking that down the road, I'm not very technologically proficient in some of these areas, but I'm going to see if I can find a program that I can take most of my pictures and turn them into black and white images and then putting out coloring books. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course they would be a lot cheaper. The color prints on these are not cheap to produce. So they're a little pricier than most books, but they are kind of magical. And that's how I look at the paintings, is everything is sort of infused with love and magic. And
when everything's fused with love and magic, that is really important when you're picking up things to spend your time doing or investing mm-hmm. your family's time in doing. Because again, lots of things that we do are not that much fun and not that light. And so you feel heavy after you've done it. And the opportunity here is that you could go, all right, wait, what's something that I could do that would be fun and uplifting for mm-hmm. me and my children? And for, in my case, my grandkids, that's who I reference, because my children are not going to sit here and listen to the humbug no matter how much I want them to.
No, but if you get them for your kids yes. and they sit and read them.
That's them. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And that's all it takes. I think that parents are so busy now. Who has the time to sit with their kids? You know, it's mm-hmm. a really tough thing. It was hard in my day. But I always took the time because those are very special moments.
Right. Yeah. And again, back to the hijacking. We talk about this lots on the show with multiple guests, just the hijacking of technology, because we do have lots of time. What happens though is we dedicate that time to either watching the TV or flipping through our phone, through social media, of things that don't have anything to do with our own life. And everyone can confess to that. You know, how many people have gone, oh, I played Candy Crush for, you know, 6 years. And then, right? You know, the things that people do on their devices too. And I'm using Candy Crush as a frame of reference, but you know, that there's lots of things that people do that, that eat up their time, and they go, oh my God, I just lost 5 years of my life. And my score on Candy Crush is like 8,222. But did it, how did that contribute to your life? You know, some people would say, oh, I stayed out of trouble, but, but the truth is you're also not creating.
I like to look at life as, you know, if I got to my deathbed and I've pretty much done all the things that I wanted to do. And ever since I can remember, I always wanted to write a book, and I've got other books that I'd like to write in the back burner, but they're not on the front burner yet. Right. So,
right. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's so much fun. And so how can people find out more about your work? You don't have a website. So where do people?
Oh, I do have a website.
You do have a website.
I do have a website. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. What is it? www.doreenbaker.ca.
Okay. Doreen Baker. So DoreenBaker.ca, not .com. So .ca, everybody. And so you don't sell your books on that website, but you do talk about all your projects, and the books are available.
Yeah, and it's sort of a little bit about me, and there's pictures, some of the pictures, so you can actually see some of the pictures in it. And there's the links to Amazon for the books that are on the front page, so it's easier for people to find. And if they go on Amazon and they just put in my name, they should all come up. But the first book isn't coming up, and it's still there. There's been some issues with Amazon, so we're gradually getting those things fixed. Right. And then the other project that we have on the go right now is we're taking all four books and consolidating them into one collector's edition. So all four stories will be in there. It's been in progress for a few months now. And the fellow that helps me to put them together, he's had some family issues and he's moving. So there's just a whole bunch of stuff, and it should be out sometime this year. Right. And that'll be called Hum's Amazing Adventures. And I'll be putting that up on my website, and we go from there. And then I'm going to start the next book, which I'm not sure how it's going to be, but,
What is your process? Do you kind of wait for things to come to you and then you start writing? Do you dream about it? Like, well, how has the projects come to you? You said the first book was really hard. The second book came really easily.
And same with the third and the fourth. Mm-hmm. The one that's coming to mind, it's been on kind of the back burner for a while, so it may not even get written yet. But where it starts is I just have to start with some paintings. And as soon as I get one or two paintings, then the story starts to evolve. And for some strange reason, once I'm in the process, like I could be talking to you and you will say something and it won't mean anything to anybody. And all of a sudden I'll get this idea and I have to quickly write it down. So that's what I do, is I write down these different ideas. And then I go back to my little book of ideas and I go, that would be really good in this book. And then it evolves from there.
Yeah. Love it. And so I'm sure that can resonate again with lots of people who are working on trying to tap into their creative process and going, oh, how do I unleash this creative power within me? Do you think we're all creators at some level, Doreen?
Yes, I do. In fact, my first book says that we are creators and co-creators. So in other words, it's not much fun to create on your own, which is why I get involved in characters in the book, because then I'm not by myself, right? I'm with these characters, which are all part of me and all part of the world, right?
Right.
So yeah, we are. I mean, think about it. Look around you. No, I didn't build one thing or do one thing. I was inspired by what other people have done. I look around at buildings. How many people does it take to build those buildings? And not only before they're built, how many who designed? And you know, so we are all co-creating. I mean, it's amazing the world that we live in. It's just been hijacked.
Right. Yes, it is. It is amazing. That's right. So some are co-conspirators, not co-conspirators to the not so hot, and some are co-creating to the the beautiful essence of things. But again, all things are in balance too, right? So they're the equal amount of good and the equal amount of not so hot, and we're not tepid. So that whole everything just being fine you know, so that you try to keep everything just being fine. That's not actually the world, the reality of the world we live in. There is some really dark and there's some really highlight light.
Yeah.
And so that figuring out what part of the game you're playing is important, and doing it to the best of your ability. So being as lit up as you possibly can be, yes, to help influence the other co-creators to do the same in this very dark time.
Mm-hmm. And I just say to people, just start, just take a baby step. And even if you're not, like, dream about it and think about it, and don't make it like, oh, I have to do this, or, you know, I'm going to make it big. It isn't about that. It's about just do it, just start. And you get a collection of pictures or something and just put it together. And maybe you used to make up stories with your kids and take some of those ideas from when you did that and put them into something, mm-hmm. even if it's just for your own family.
Right. Yes. And I love the humbleness too of you saying there's like no new thing, but all these things are co-created, that there's no new thing. Like this is all coming to us if we are open to allowing it to come. And that it's been in other iterations at other time in time and space. And that it says that there's no new thing under the sun, that we just keep bringing up either the highlights of the good things and that, or we give way to the things that are not so hot for us and for everybody else as well. And so when you write things down, I think that's where you capture yourself also of going, what am I actually thinking here? What am I, or the words that I'm writing down actually in alignment with what I want to be manifesting in the world, or are they not? Right. So is there that inquisitive sort of process that happens through with hum as well? Is there that little Q&A where characters are questioning what they're doing?
Well, there's an inquisitiveness, but there's also a knowing mm-hmm. that when you're this drop happens, it can come from out of nowhere. Like, and I receive information like in picture. I can't even begin to explain how I receive. Mm-hmm. And so I try to write it down as much as I can. And sometimes I'll just scratch out an image, which only I can interpret.
Right.
But then it's logged in. Otherwise I'll forget because it's mm-hmm. so fleeting. It's like a vision, a clairvoyant vision that's just very quick. Yes. And then it's gone. And I've had many in my life, and I've lost them because I wasn't quick enough to write it down or record it somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a dream. You know, you wake up from a dream and you go, yeah, I got to remember that. And then 5 hours later, you've forgotten, and you get kind of glimpses of it during the day, mm-hmm. and you just never can capture it again.
Right. Yeah. I love that. And it's, it's like telling people to write things down and carry their little notebook or keep it by their bedside so that you wake yourself up and actually write down, what's coming to you. Lots of people talk about waking up at 3 a.m. And then like they can't go back to sleep. So I say, like, write down what you're thinking about, write it down, because what's woken you up is maybe important. And it doesn't matter if the whole rest of the world is also waking up at 3 a.m. because that's a really normal thing. But capturing for you what's different, because what you're thinking about or receiving is not the same as what anyone else is receiving. You know, so that's part of our developing that insight or the intuition and embracing the intuition that's given to us. So I've done the same thing during where I've got like those little downloads and then gone, oh, I wish I would have written that down. Or followed up right away on things. And then the difference, though, between the results that you get. Mm-hmm. What I've gotten in my life is like, if I follow through on that intuition, it's just spot on. It's like the sweet spot of things. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of get into the illusion of the world needing to do certain things or follow through on certain things, or what starts stuff that is not your stuff to start is, you know, a really common one. You know, you need to do this, you need to do that, and kind of go, well, I'll do it, but it doesn't feel right for me, or why am I doing this? Was I actually told to do this? Or have I got in somebody else's lane in somebody else's boat? And am I paddling down the river or upstream and not getting anywhere because I'm actually in the wrong boat that is not meant for me?
Well, and that's a real tricky situation because we don't know the things that we're going through. We get robotic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are we doing this for our parents? Are we looking for permission from someone? Like I like to really watch people and, you know, I can intuitively interpret how they react with each other. And it's a very interesting thing to do, because maybe we are just robotic, or we've got a program in us and we don't realize that we're not living our true life. The beauty of being at the age that I'm at now is I got rid of all that crap. I've had enough rocky roads and
yeah, along the way.
Well, between work and, you know, I had a really bad broken leg and I was taken out of work for almost 2 years, and I still have the leg, thankfully, but I had a lot of time to think about things. And you get to the point where you put the boundaries out and go, no, you won't treat me like that. And no, I don't want to do that. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't mind helping people out that love to be helped out. That's the totally different source. I like to help people with their gardens too, which is where I get my inspiration for my books too.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And that's a good, it's the being able to identify also where you're twisting yourself into doing stuff for other people and getting out of the robotics is part of life mastery. And we all do it, right? We've all, you know, been indoctrinated to really follow somebody else's path all the time. And that, you know, for reward or punishment, or being part of the tribe or not being part of the tribe, or being included or excluded, all those really kind of core basic instinctual things that we get played on all the mm-hmm. time, because people are very good at puppeteering us around. It's a skill that, you know, that has been honed over the decades or millennia. So our disenfranchising ourselves from that to our own connection with God or the divine source, however people want to see it, whatever their iteration of that is, then we can hear what's meant for us. But that does, it's like having that seclusion to listen to yourself that we often don't mm-hmm. have an opportunity mm-hmm. to do, that either we hijack ourselves because we, you know, sit and watch TV that we don't want to watch, or we, you know, participate in things that we don't necessarily want to participate in to get along. And whereas we're not really following the internal direction of, hey, paint that hummingbird today. Hey, mm-hmm. write these words.
Yes.
And that those things that bring the spark of joy to our, mm-hmm. in our life, that those things of meaning, because if we were really doing that, we would have a lot more of them.
Yes.
You know, absolutely. Where people go, oh my God, I had that one moment 3 years ago where I was like, oh, that was on. I was on.
Yes.
It's like, wow. It's like, we're so disattached that we, that
yeah,
that's the process, though, the process of things. So.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I also make a practice of meditating daily. And often during the meditations, I get some really, really great downloads, like just a spark of an idea. And then I go off and research the idea, and it creates more ideas.
That's beautiful. So when you're meditating, do you have a morning practice, or is it at any time during the day? Like what's your
routine? Can be multiple times. I usually prefer to lay down for an hour in the afternoon and have a quiet meditation, namely because I have a bit of a back condition. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm raring to go. So I can't sit and meditate first thing right. in the morning. Yes. But in the afternoon, yeah, I do. But I'm kind of doing walking meditations all day long. Keeps me calm and kind of centered, because I have a tendency to be a bit fiery at times. So,
yeehaw, giddy up, right?
Yeah.
Settle down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. It's good mastery to be able to use that fire, though, to spark the ignition of yourself, and then to be able to cool it enough that you're not burning down the house.
Right? Yeah. Right. Took a lot of years to master that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think that lots and lots of people can relate to that. That's one yeah. of the things I teach Qigong, and so that is it's like the mastery of all that emotional stuff, but it's not where you're not Kundalini, where you're fiery, which is Kundalini.
Yeah.
It's like you bring it back down and you're grounding everything, and you're constantly working on cultivating the garden of the energy of your body so that you're not at the mm-hmm. whim and the behest of, well, yourself being pushed and pulled by other circumstances,
yeah.
et cetera. So,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah. And then the other thing I do is I observe myself. I step outside of myself and observe myself. And so that's why I'm hum, like, you know, in right. So it's like I can look at things from so many different angles, and that's taken a lot of years to master, and it's kind of fun.
Right. What's the biggest thing you've learned from hum about yourself?
That you can do anything. That whatever you dream, you can do, you can be, you can have. And you just got to make sure you know what it is that you want. That's, and I've always been a bit like that. But now I realize that, yeah, you can dream, but if it's somebody else's dream, do you really want to waste your energy and time on somebody else's dream? Mm-hmm. So that's why Hum has all these adventures, because life is an adventure to find out what it is you really want. And that dream is always changing, no matter where you're at in your life. Like when you're a kid, you have dreams. And then when you're 30, you're going, well, that was when I was a kid, you know. But some of your spark and some of what you are and what you came with, you knew as a kid, mm-hmm. but you've forgotten because you've been indoctrinated with, oh, you've got to be responsible, you got to do this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying those aren't important, but you got to remember what it is that you really loved when you were 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, you know? Maybe you like to make mud pies. Maybe you want to be a great baker or something, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm.
So you and your channel did your book.
Yeah, and it's a matter of time. You know, don't waste the time. Try to set a time every day, even if you only paint for half an hour. And I'll go for weeks and not pick up the paintbrush. But I find that when I do, I've forgotten how to paint. You get what I mean? It's yes. like, so you have to keep at it. And even if you're not creating a picture, even if you're just playing with ideas, you know, on a piece of paper, and you know, as long as there's some creative thing going on. And I couldn't imagine life without creativity. It, mm-hmm. That is who I am. And I don't want to live my life any other way.
Right. Yes. So Doreen, and here's another mm-hmm. question. It's like, yep. do you have to be good at whatever the thing is that you're doing to actually create? What's your thoughts on that?
No, you have to do it because it feels right inside and it feels good. You have to follow how you feel. And just because you think you're not good doesn't mean you aren't good. Because if you look at artists, I mean, I look at some of the artist stuff that's selling for billions of dollars, like, oh, that's crap. You know, so yes. But you see, it's like music and art. It's all open to interpretation. And so I'll look at my pictures and I'll go, oh, geez, that's not very good. And then other people are going, wow, that's my favorite picture. So it's like, okay, you have to stop. We're so trained to critique everything. And I don't like the idea of the critiquing part. I've never agreed with that. Why do we have to rip apart someone who's very creative?
Yeah.
You know, and what do we know? We're not the creative ones. So what gives us the right to make a judgment on them?
Right.
And yeah, to me, I love that's what critiquing is.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good point, because you can critique somebody, but you don't need to share your critique.
Yes.
I think that's one of the things that people do is like, well, and especially using like Facebook and stuff where people don't know you. And then they just like say blah, 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 but whatever they don't like. And I go, well, if you actually didn't like it, you could just hold that internally within yourself. You didn't need to share it with the whole world. And it's like beauty is in the eye of, to your point, there's lots of different kinds yes. of art that speak to people.
Yes.
I love singing as a, you know, amongst other things, but singing is one of the things I love to do. And when I'm singing and somebody else is singing with me and they go, oh, I don't sing that well. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're singing yeah. this great. And they go, I'm totally out of tune. I'm like, who cares?
Well, and how can you really tell?
Does it feel good to sing? Does it feel good to actually unleash your voice, throw your, you know, voice over your voice box and just to let it out? It'll be, well, yeah, actually it does. Well, then don't worry about what anyone else thinks. If they don't like the way that you sound, they can leave the room. You know, God,
you don't see a bird out there criticizing themselves for singing.
Right. Yes. Or the rest of the flock. You guys over there, shut up.
What they're doing. And what about frogs when they're singing away in the ponds? I mean, they're starting to wake up out here now. And as soon as they start doing their song, oh, it's heaven, because you know spring is coming.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. And you might have one that's got a real deep voice and they're not stopping because they have it, they're different, they're just doing what they're meant to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we need to do. It's not about how well you sing. It's whether you sing. Because that frequency, can you imagine the healing that that does to your body?
Yes, it's amazing. Our voices are healing instruments. I teach healing sounds as part of Qigong. And so it's a practice within mm-hmm. Qigong that there's healing sounds. And they work. They work. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I believe
they
work. That.
Yeah, all kinds of things. So so hum can hum.
Well, and if you ever look at hummingbirds, the right now the males are sitting up in the trees and they make a funny little noise. And when I do my walks around here, they're all over the place around here. And I look at them in the tree and they're always in particular spots because they have their own little area that's theirs, I guess, their acreage. And they're quite funny to watch. And there's one in particular that I pass when I go on one of my walks, and every now and then he'll get up off the branch and he'll buzz me. Like he'll just come within a few inches of my head as though to say, yeah, I know you're watching me.
Oh, that's so cute. That is so cute. And so do they sing differently between the summer and the or spring and winter? Because there are some birds here that do that. Chickadees have a winter song and then they have a spring song and it's different.
Well, I don't think the hummingbirds really are singing, but they do make distinct sounds. Like they make different clicking noises and they buzz. And so I don't know if a lot of it's from the wing action or whatnot. But and I don't know if the males, when they're making that noise, actually are trying to attract a female. I don't know. Right. I haven't got delved that far. Maybe in my next book.
Maybe in your next book. That's right.
Yeah.
So yes,
yeah.
But this is springtime. So a lot of that attracting, this is the time of attraction. And that springtime fever. So it's like, what are people doing with their spring fever before they get into the summer? It's like definitely the ability to manage energy, and that's emotional energy and the things that we ingest in our eyes, mm-hmm. with our ears, with our mm-hmm. all of our senses are affecting all of our frequency and vibration and love and what we put out in the world. And so again, congratulations on this beautiful set of children's books. Can you through them once again for us so that people can order yours or check out your website? So DoreenBaker.ca is Doreen's website. And she's just going to show us the first
book is called Hum.
Right. And this is the one that people are having a difficult time finding on Amazon, but look for it. Yes.
Yeah. And if they go to my website, I've got the links there. So
perfect.
Until we get that sorted out.
Right. Yes.
And then this is the second one, Hum's Quest.
Beautiful.
And the third one, Hum Dreams.
Very nice.
And then Hum on the Farm
is so cute. Honestly, we had that barn in one of our locations. We had that exact building. It's so funny.
They're everywhere.
I love it. So final parting words, Doreen, for the audience, anything that you'd like to leave with people as we wrap up the interview today?
I used to always say, just do it. You know, it's one thing to have a dream, but it's not much good if it's just a dream. That's just a cloud. An idea. And we're here to create physical manifestations because we are a physical manifestation. So anything that we create is a physical manifestation. So just do it.
Right. Beautiful. Thank you so much for being just a wonderful guest.
Everybody,
thank you. Come and check out Doreen's beautiful books for yourself, for your children, for your grandchildren, beautiful Easter gifts, beautiful birthday presents, beautiful Christmas gifts. I'm looking forward to the box set coming out. And so that will be a wonderful gift to the world as well.
It actually won't be a box set. It'll be one large book with
large book. So that will be beautiful also. And so if you have any other books that are coming out, Doreen, make sure you get a hold of me because I'd love to have you on again.
Okay, thank you.
And people, please connect with Doreen at her website, find her on Facebook, friend her, share her information with other people who have children and grandchildren who could use this uplifting, beautiful reading material to enrich their lives. I love you all, everybody. Love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.